64, no tax.
Hey everybody, Kate Delaney, each and every week, as you know, we like to start off with Ellen Ratner, and she is on U.S. soil. She's like a world traveler, so it's so hard to nail her down. She's an exciting lifestyle. Ellen Ratner, of course, from Talk Radio News, the fine folks there who give us the inside scoop. And she is the one with us, of course, at the top. Like I said, let's talk about Libya. The two sons were arrested. What do you know about that, Elle?
Well, I do know. I mean, that's what is being claimed about the sons being arrested. But let's assume that it's 100% true and it really happens that way and they're under arrest. And now, of course, Gaddafi is really isolated. The issue is of course, one, who is doing this and what is the benefit? And secondly, is this going to be a country that we can do business with now that isn't going to be blowing up planes in Scotland, that kind of thing? But secondly, what does this mean for Arab Spring? And does this mean that a year from now we are going to see Assad, President Assad, if you want to call him a president, dictator Assad in Syria, as being there? And, you know, what's interesting is he's a physician. He's an ophthalmologist, as a matter of fact. But I was just, you know, he trained in London. I'm just actually with a physician who knew of him quite well through other physicians in London, and who was also trained. It was actually trained in medical school in Egypt, so all those guys kind of know each other. And he just said, the guy will fight. Even worse than Gaddafi, but he will be gone in a year.
Gone in a year. All right, gone in a year. You heard it. How about Syria? So it's like what we're talking about, the Syrian mix and the Libyan mix.
The Syrian guy will be gone in a year. Gaddafi will go within a few weeks.
Yeah. Yeah, boy, and he dug in his heels, there's no question about it. And this is kind of a curveball, but I'm going to throw it to you anyway. Ellen, what about the prisoners and the time that they're going to face in that Iranian prison, the hikers? They're saying 9 years, 8 years, 9 years. Any chance that appeal will work or the humanitarian push from the U.S.?
Well, I don't know that the U.S. has much influence. The question is, do other countries who do business with Iran, including places like the UAE, United Arab Emirates, who, of course, we supposedly have a wonderful relationship with and don't have much of a relationship with Iran except for the fact that the largest building on the Dubai River is the Bank of Iran. It depends on whether America uses their diplomacy back channel to get these people out.
Yeah. Wow. Well, the week that's ahead in D.C., of course, Congress still cleared out. What's happening?
There. The president's on Martha's Vineyard. He comes back on the 27th, just played some golf today. And the Congress is out of session. So as a friend of mine calls it, it's the lunching season. It's when a lot of reporters who are in town do manage to have lunch with various staff members, et cetera, who happen to be in town and sort of use that time, downtime, to make those kinds of connections.
All right, I love that. Ellen Ratner, Talk Radio News, thanks so much.
Thank you.
All right, so the big thing there you could hear, hey, everybody, Kate, over the weekend, what a weekend it was, while we were all chilling in the States, fanning ourselves in some of the warmer areas. Yeah, like I've been at 100 degrees plus for 56 days and counting. Hot is the operative word when it comes to Muammar Gaddafi, as you heard there from Ellen, and of course Assad as well in Syria. Looks like two new regimes should this for sure happen, whether it's a year for Assad, just a couple of weeks for Gaddafi. Lots of gun battles, a lot of NATO airstrikes. That's, I'm sure, going to continue to happen throughout the week. And remember, there have been airstrikes in Libya for now months. So is this finally it? The crying's over, and boom, it's time to capitalize. Gaddafi was heard in an audio broadcast just before midnight claiming that there were very small groups of people who were collaborators, what did he say, with the imperialists who were fighting inside the capital. And he called on friends and Arab tribes to come to the defense of Tripoli and actually cleanse it of what he called rebel forces, warning they'd be enslaved, you like that word, by the Western powers if they fail. So that's going to be heavy this week. That's what's coming up this week. Maybe nothing's going on in the capital, but certainly there's a lot going on in the Middle East. Plus, there are bombs that are hitting, strikes that are hitting Israel. That's a huge story. And we'll dive into that coming up this hour. Plus, Tropical Storm Irene, the first hurricane perhaps of the season, forming in the Atlantic. Now, you know how this happens. It looks on radar like it's going to turn into that hurricane, rather. It's a tropical storm right now. Could become a Cat 1 as it comes to Puerto Rico and the Dominican Republic, which is happening now, early Monday. So then the storm should, and I looked at this just before we jumped on the air, because I got a lot of family in Florida. Many of you listening to me have family in Florida. You might be listening to me in the Sunshine State. So the storm could pass over Puerto Rico, and that's where it's looking because I'm looking at the radar, smash the Dominican Republic on Monday, and then hit the U.S. by Thursday. You're talking in the DR up to 20 inches of rain, 20 inches, 6 to 10. There's another piece called Hispaniola. That's probably what they're looking at, so a little bit less. And the winds are already at 50, 60 miles an hour. At St. Croix, they're being smashed around with those kind of winds. And Puerto Rico, certainly, too, they're getting it as well. So keep an eye on that. That's huge, huge for people here in the U.S. because will it dissipate a little bit? Will we just see rain in Florida? It's maybe a little flooding. Are we going to have that full-on boarding up the spots, trying to lay low and get out of the way of a hurricane named Irene? And this would be the first one. Remember, heading into the hurricane season, the prediction was that it would be pretty heavy stuff. I said we would get into the rocket attacks from Gaza into southern Israel. And from what I can tell, also the very latest that I was getting before I jumped on the air through Twitter, that there are still rockets that have been fired. And that's been going off since last week, the tail end of last week. And remember, last week, there were 7 Israeli civilians and 1 soldier that were killed. And there were people that were wounded. There were dozens and dozens of people that were wounded, too. And they're going to keep, Israel's military is going to keep responding to this. So this is back and forth now with Gaza. They're slamming Gaza and so on and so forth. And in the Gaza airstrikes, 15 people, 3 kids were killed in that one. And then dozens of people were injured there as well. So there's all kinds of things happening, like I said, in the Middle East, including Israel. Geez. And I say it every single time when we're on the air at some point during the week, it is the ultimate chess game in the desert. Who wins, who loses? It's a battle of land. It's a battle of wills. And all 3 scenarios are just a tad different. And what is the U.S.'s involvement? All right, here's a big one for me, too, that we will also get into on America Tonight. I had a interesting discussion with somebody about Rupert Murdoch and whether or not he would fall over this whole phone hacking thing. I think the most disgusting thing about the phone hacking deal was the hacking of the relatives of the people killed in the 9/11 attacks. Coming up on the flip side, somebody who knows about 9/11, he was one of the first responders, a fireman, Matt Long, joins us, but he has another story to tell about a tale of being on a bicycle and almost losing his life as a fireman in New York City. Stay tuned. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment moment basis, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Gold is like nothing else on Earth. From the Romans through the Renaissance, from the Industrial Age to the Space Age, gold has weathered the test of time. For 6,000 years, gold has remained the ultimate store of wealth. According to the World Gold Council and the U.S. Mint, demand is at an all-time high. The stage is being set for the reemergence of gold as the common-sense alternative to a fiat paper currency that gets weaker every day. Midas Resources is proud to offer the hard-hitting report that arms you with the truth you need to protect you and your family from the Fed's plans for your hard-earned money. Don't gamble with your future. Call Midas Resources today and ask for your free copy of As Good as Gold. Call 1-800-686-2233 for the report the Fed hopes you'll never see. As Good as Gold can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. If you have ever thought about owning gold, you must read this report. Call Midas today at 800-686-2237.
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Bedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com. Or call us at 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514. Be a part of the revolution today.
Welcome back to America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney, Coast to Coast, and of course all those nooks and crannies that we're so fond of talking in between. Imagine this, every day of your life, you ride a bike to work and you happen to ride that bike in a very, very crowded area like New York City. That's exactly what our next guest did for so long. Matt Long is his name. And in 2005, life couldn't have been better for the 17-year FDNY veteran until the day that a 20-ton bus hit him while he was doing what he did every single day with no problems, biking to work. His amazing story, though, where he's come since that day. Boy, we're going to talk about that, and we're thrilled to have him on America Tonight. Matt, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Kate.
I'm going to have you take us down what happened, because I didn't give a very good explanation, just that the bus had hit you. Was it just pure shock? You were blindsided? What happened?
Well, yeah, I was blindsided. But fortunately, I don't remember the actual impact or the accident. You know, I think the mind is a very powerful thing, and it knew if I survived this and I had any memory, I'd probably never get on a bike again or may not recover mentally. So anything I tell you was told to me. I was riding north up 3rd Avenue, Manhattan, and the bus just made a right turn out of nowhere, and I hit the bus kind of in the front end of it and went right underneath.
Wow. Wow. And then the injuries were so bad. Is this true? The doctors gave you like a 1% chance to even survive?
Yes, that's true. They told my parents and my brothers and sisters when everyone got by the hospital that that this was as bad as it gets. And, you know, they didn't really think I'd make it through the night.
So you were in the let's say this. You lost 68 units of blood. I can't even imagine what that was like for your family in the first 40 hours after that accident. I mean, they must have been doing a lot of praying and calling up everyone they knew. And I'm sure when you talk to them, they just must pinch themselves now because you can look back on that and do that, but not when it first happened. Do you remember when you really came to and realized, and then you're like, oh, I'm in the hospital. I'm kind of groggy, and here I am. But do you know when you really could feel, okay, here I am, I'm alive, but I'm in pain?
Yeah, it was about 6 or 7 weeks later, and I just remember, some white lights in my face, and my brother Jim explaining to me that I was run over by a bus, and I was in the hospital, and I was being taken care of, and it didn't, I was heavily medicated, so it didn't sink in, and I was like, okay, well, when are we going home? When am I getting out of here? I gotta stop running. I'm training for the Boston Marathon, and that's when I think they slowly started taking me off some meds to get a, let me know that I'm aware of what happened to me and how severe it was.
Yeah, wow. So do you realize that you said that I want to get going, I want to run, you were physical. So you had the drive, and is that what got you to this point where now you're running marathons, you completed an Ironman, that's wild, you're on the bike every day. What drove you that you knew, boy, I'm an athlete and I got to get back to it?
Well, I guess that's what I wanted to get back to. I've been an athlete my entire life, whether it's, basketball, pickup games in the street, or running marathons and triathlons. I just didn't want this accident to change my existence. So, it has altered my abilities. It has altered my speed and the way I walk and definitely the way I run. But it hasn't taken the person, the athlete, the competitiveness out of me. So that's why I'm still involved, and that's definitely what drove me to push for this comeback.
Do you remember your, as I said, your running marathons, all that kind of stuff? What was it like the first successful, when you came back, the first one that you successfully completed?
All right, well, just the record straight, I only did one. There was only one comeback marathon.
Right.
I before my accident, I ran a 3:13, qualified for Boston.
Mm.
And less than 3 years from my accident, I went back to the New York City Marathon, and I was flanked by two friends because I didn't know if I'd make it the whole way. And I knew that I was getting a start with the Achilles Track Club of New York, so I'd have a 3-hour head start over the 40,000 runners that would come from behind me, and I wanted to make sure I had some support. It was a long day. That's all I got to say. 7 hours and 21 minutes. I was in a lot of pain, and in the last 3 or 4 miles, I don't really remember much. I just was just knew that that finish line would come closer with every step I took.
Yeah. And your friends must have been there and must have been so excited, though, once, because you had the two friends on the side, but you must have other people, I'm sure, at the finish line. They had to be beside themselves with excitement, right?
Oh, well, not to mention all the other stuff you had when you introed me, but I'm also one of 9 siblings. So, I have a big family, and they were all at the finish line. And I think I had 2 friends that I had planned to run with me, but then other people were running the marathon realized either they were my friends of mine, they trained with me, or they knew my story, and they just said, I'm done, and they ran alongside of us.
Wow.
I went to finish with like 16 or 17 people that would just say, my race is over, I'm going to run with him the rest of the way.
Wow. So I said this, and is this right? You bike every day or every day you can? How far do you go?
I pretty much go out on the bike every day, as long as I can. But I try to get 200 miles a week.
Wow. Do you go solo or do you go with other people, or it just depends?
No, I'm part of a I joined a cycling team. Cycling is a lot better for me than running with a low impact. And I have a one leg is shorter than the other. My hip is a little screwed up, and the cycling doesn't seem to bother it. So I joined the cycling team, Asphalt Green Cycling Team in New York City, and I train with them 5 days a week, and then I go out with some friends on the weekend.
Very cool. I have to ask you this because I was in New York during 9/11. I was working at the Fan in New York City, and you, of course, were there. I mean, first response. You think of that, first responders. This is an anniversary of 10 years coming up. What kind of an impact that had to have a big impact on your life too, the responding to this, to what happened there, and then you have this devastating accident. How do you remember what happened on 9/11?
Well, it's 10 years now. Try not, as firefighters, most of my friends, at least, we don't talk about it too much. But I think what it did for me was it really was one of those moments in my life where it just made me realize that life's too short. And you never know what's going to happen. So, right after September 11th is when I really started to jumpstart my fitness. And I just had this thing in my head that if I'm going to be a firefighter for the rest of my life or the next 10 or 15 years, that I wanted to be prepared for anything that could come my way. So I really, really started taking care of my body and what I put in my body. And so I just knew that if anything was to happen, it wasn't going to be because I failed or my training let me down.
Yeah.
So it really got me going in that sense in the word.
Yeah. Tell us, you have a book. Tell us about your book.
Yep. So I wrote a book about my journey. It's called The Long Run, and it's out on paperback now. Charlie Butler was my co-author, and he did a great job. He wrote a little story about me in Runner's World magazine after I finished the marathon. And I told him, I said, my next goal is the Ironman. And he was like, oh, mind if I tag along? And Charlie and I decided to put it down in a book. And, you know, it goes, my childhood is a little bit of my family. I think the best thing that comes from my book is the fact that I didn't survive this accident by myself. The support system I have was just unbelievable with the fire department and, you know, my 8 brothers and sisters and their husbands and wives and nieces and that. It just, the support system was unbelievable, and I was an extremely lucky man to have that.
Yeah. You also started we want to tell everyone, go to Amazon.com. You can pick up Matt's book and some of the things that we just touched on here. I'm sure there's much more in the long run. You also have a foundation, I Will. Tell us about I Will.
Yeah, so, you know, during my my recovery process, as I was, you know, kind of battling depression a bit with why this happened to me and thinking of all the things I couldn't do in life anymore and, you know, how my life was changed, I started to realize that when I was happiest and I was healthiest and I was setting goals for myself, I always thought there was nothing I couldn't do. And, you know, if someone said, you're not fast enough to qualify for Boston, I said, I will. But I started using those two words again. And I decided to put my story down on the internet to let people, anyone else out there who's going through a tough time, that look what I did after facing devastating odds. I mean, less than 5% chance to live. Not only did I live, but I'm an athlete again. So I put it all up on the I Will Foundation, and now we're helping people who have suffered traumatic injuries or illnesses live their life to the fullest. It has nothing to do with the caliber of athlete you are or anything else. It's just about someone who says, hey, this is the cards I was dealt, but I don't want them to define me. And we're trying to help them out.
I love that. I Will. You can tell it. You can hear it in your voice. Matt Long, thanks so much for coming on with us. Pick up the book, folks, The Long Run, Amazon.com, and check out the foundation. The best of luck to you with everything that you're doing. And again, thanks for spending some time with us.
Thanks for having me. Have a great evening.
You too.
You've been lied to. Lied to by the Wall Street propaganda machine, the government, and the talking heads in the media. The market has proven that's more like a casino than an investment. And if you've had enough and want to keep your hard-earned money safe, this message is for you. My name is Brett Kitchen, and after losing 35% of my money when the market crashed several years ago, I said enough. Since then, I discovered a way to safely grow your money, cut taxes dramatically, get potential double-digit gains, but also have my money protected when the crashes come. Get a free copy of my new book, Safe Money Millionaire, where I share this powerful tool that people like Walt Disney and JCPenney used to safely grow their wealth. Just call 1-800-675-1640. Again, that's 1-800-675-1640. On the web, go to safemoneybook.com or just call 1-800-675-1640. Again, that's 800-675-1640.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Don't let summer be a bummer. Stop sunburn pain, poison ivy, and mosquito bite itch, and the burn of athlete's foot with just one Safol natural first aid product, Dermatol. Many GCN listeners have already discovered how effective Dermatol is as a natural, non-acidic way to treat cuts, burns, bites, rashes, shingles, boils, and many skin problems. Now this special offer. Buy one bottle of Dermatol, get one bottle free. Call 1-800-217-6677 and mention GCN. Dermatol is the must-have first aid product for your preparedness kit. Made in America by Americans, Dermatol's soothing, rapid restoration of injured skin is so effective, it's guaranteed. Call 800-217-6677. That's 800-217-6677. And ask for the GCN Buy One, Get One Free special, or use coupon code GCN at checkout at DermatolUSA.com. Spelled DermatolUSA.com. Efficient, economical, effective. Spray it all with Dermatol.
Big Berkey water filters are in high demand. Storable foods are also in high demand. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has always kept our focus on the Berkey water filter products. But increasingly, our customers have been asking for storable foods. After months of research, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com now offers great-tasting, long-lasting, storable foods. These ready-to-eat meals are packed in airtight nitrogen pouches. All you do is just add water. And because they're sealed so well, they come with a 25-year shelf life. Combine our Berkey water filters, which are powerful enough to purify treated, untreated, or even stagnant pond water with our storable foods, and you have a winning combination. Remember, we offer free shipping on every order over $50, and GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com or call 877-99-BERKEY. That's BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com or call 877-99-BERKEY today.
For centuries, silver has been used as a powerful natural antibiotic, and as a listener to this station, you probably already know the benefits of using colloidal silver. With so many websites to choose from, finding a reputable, patriotic company with great products at affordable prices can be a difficult task. Introducing UtopiaSilver.com. UtopiaSilver.com carries the best, most effective, and most affordable colloidal silver and colloidal gold products in the industry. UtopiaSilver.com also carries products to fit your lifestyle, including weight loss, immune system defense, cleanses, herbs, joint and bone care, and much more. First-time customers using promo code GCN50 will receive 50% off all colloidal products. Visit us today at Utopia Silver, that's U-T-O-P-I-A Silver, utopiasilver.com, or call 888-213-4338. That's 888-213-4338. UtopiaSilver.com, taking back America's healthcare one American at a time.
How lucky can one guy be? I kissed her and she kissed me. Like the fella once said, ain't that a kick in the head? The room was completely black. I hugged her and she hugged back. Like the sailor.
Coming up
said,
in our next segment, you won't believe the words that are going into the Webster Dictionary. I mean, I guess I shouldn't say that anymore. Ginormous. People still don't believe me that that's a word, but if you look it up, it's there. Ginormous. And I never even used to use that word until I found out it was in the dictionary. So, different times. Of course, sexting, I'll give you a little preview. Sexting is one of the new words in the dictionary. I know you're not stunned by that, right? Because you hear the term sexting all the time. Whether it's a bad thing, a good thing, or problematic. It's a word that is used constantly. I don't think that's a stunner that sexting is there. But there are a few other words that I bet you have no idea what they mean. So in our next segment, we're going to introduce you to some of the new words that you might be hearing in your neighborhood soon. Plus, a shameless plug for my new book. Oh, yeah. Shameless plug. I'm expecting that audience. In our, because we have a live studio audience, of course, at the Mothership in Minneapolis. And I begged Matt Johnson before he came to work to stop and get a whole bunch of Red Bull or 5-Hour Energy or whatever it would take to keep them alive and kicking so that the blood would be pumping through their veins. during this hour of America tonight. It is the start of another week. And, you know, I got to wonder about Josh Fatal and Shane Bauer. Do you recognize those names? Probably not. Not movie stars, not athletes, not politicians. But they are the two hikers. Remember the ones that were caught by the Iranians and they were tried? They were considered to be spies. They were convicted. They're supposed to do 8 to 9 years of hard time. You heard us mention that at the top of the hour. Of course, the push is, let's get an appeal. Let's get an appeal. What about humanitarian reasons? What about appealing to other countries, refusing to do business, as Ellen Ratner said, with them? If they shouldn't release the two hikers? I say that these hikers have to be pretty scared, because now it's been well over a year and they're more than in thick. I can't even fathom what it would be like to be in a prison there. I can't even imagine. Hard time. Especially one of the worst prisons in the world. One of the worst. Let's see, Rahway, Even is what it's called, Even Prison. Ugh, I would be scared. I wonder if they'll even keep them together. I saw a photograph of them and their faces. It told the story. The Brothers Grimm. Brothers Grimm. You know, the prison is so bad. I mean, so awful. They say that the two have already been abused. They've been assaulted in prison. And it means just completely harsh conditions, because where they are being housed is the wing for political prisoners. So, of course, they're going to just jam on them. I don't know that they'd even survive it. What do you think? You think these two guys, young in their 20s, think they'll survive it? Sentenced on charges of spying and illegal entry? Even at one point, because there's been some stories that have emerged, a little storytelling here. At the prison, one of them, it was Josh Fatal, supposedly, a guard said that he took extra food. You know what he did? Pushed him down a flight of stairs. And repeatedly, they've thrown the other guy against a wall in his cell until his head started bleeding. I don't know that they, honestly, these two guys in this prison, my prediction, I hate to say it, I'm not giving them a death sentence. I don't think they survive it. I don't think so. In fact, I think what they believed is they would be executed, because the guards were playing kind of Russian roulette with them. And then your mind stretches to some craziness of, you know, who knows, stoning or something else. But they did at one point get loaded into a car. They were taken off somewhere, and that's what happened. They played Russian roulette with them, kind of cocked their weapons behind their heads, all that kind of stuff, and they were just begging for mercy. I mean, begging for mercy. And who knows? These are only a few little stories. Who knows what else we don't know? They get like an hour of sunlight, if they're lucky, a day. They sit side by side in a little space that's like the size of a towel. Psychologically, I mean, that has to be. I can't even imagine the ups, the downs, the roller coaster ride. You're mentally, your mind is on when you're in this situation. And I just keep going back to this. You know, you can never stop time. We all know that. What a feat that would be, huh? You know, the whole time machine thing. Guarantee these two guys, Fatal and Bauer, if they could go back in time, oh, they'd do it, whatever the price. They would do it, because they're in a terrible situation, especially given that nutball, Ahmadinejad, and the relationship with the United States. I mean, he's got something to hang on here with these two guys. And trust me, I think he's going to hang on to them. I don't think, whatever the push is, I don't think he's going to let them go. I think they're going to be there and they're going to serve that time, barring some miracle intervention. And I can't even imagine what that's going to be. I don't think so. Could you ever picture yourself? Could you? I mean, this is a good question anyway. We talk about people in prison. We talk about in California how they have no room. They say they have no room, so they let people out. And I shudder to think who could be in that crowd. But if you had to do time, and maybe somebody listening to me has done time, and I've talked to many prisoners in my lifetime, both in my TV career and on radio, could you do time? If you had to do time, and especially, and this is the thing with these two, they're not spies. I don't believe they're spies. Could you do the time if you didn't do the crime you're accused of, that you're convicted of? Oh, being blindsided, the worst. That would just eat my insides out. That would be the worst thing ever. Because now you're rotting away. You're being persecuted. And plus, you're not even in the United States. And you didn't do it. So you have this one lame appeal left because, you know, they're going to do whatever they want. They can do whatever they want. You're in their country. And the U.S. can ask, can try to do whatever, but not with Iran. Because there's nothing there. There's no bargaining. There's nothing they can do. And they're not going to bargain. So these guys are stuck unless somehow, for some reason, they get mercy. They get an odd twist of mercy. But I don't know that I think that's going to happen. I don't think so. I think it'd be very, very tough to do this, to do the time. Knowing in your head that mental stretch that you have to go through. Whew, cannot imagine. All right, there are a couple of other things. And by the way, you can always throw your two cents in. I don't mean to shove any of you aside, because your voices need to be heard on this overnight highway of what I call the water cooler buzz. 800-259-5791. 800-259-5791. How tough to do the time. And I don't see anything happening for them. I think it's a rough ride here on in. And especially, too, you look at some of the other things that are happening in the Middle East, with Syria exploding, naturally, Libya, and Gaddafi now at this point cornered. It's a matter of time. And the push and pull, of course, with Ahmadinejad over nuclear power, wink, wink, nuclear capability. So that's not going away anytime soon. There is no real relationship whatsoever with the United States. It couldn't be further on the outs. So who steps in? Who's the knight in shining armor in this situation? I don't think so. Not at this point. There's not one. Not one. I got to throw this in because, you know, we do the nail the score thing here, starting up when the regular season kicks in. And how awful is this? What's going on? We got these flash mobs who at any point they can swarm innocent people. I think that's scary. In Philadelphia, they have a curfew, but it's sort of working, sort of not working. And now you've got San Francisco and Oakland mayors both saying, oh, we're not going to have violence with the NFL. So there was predictions that there would be violence if there wasn't an NFL season. And instead, after a preseason game, you have problems. Two shootings and a beating after a football game at Candlestick Park. Oh, come on, people. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Well, they're going to start to have cameras trained on all of us. You're going to go to your seat and you're going to hear this little, it's going to be a camera. Talk about Big Brother. You won't even be able to watch a game without a camera somewhere trained on you with the things that are happening in and outside of ballparks. And here again, they're looking into whether or not this was a rivalry situation. That it's gotten that out of control. You root for one team, somebody else roots for the other team, and a fight breaks out. It broke out in the stands. The 49ers, by the way, won, and this was Saturday in Candlestick, 17-3. So was there some kind of it was the 49ers versus the Oakland Raiders, of course. So is this going to be a problem? And you get these guys in their 20s. What are they thinking?
fresh.
Fight back this cold and flu season with the world's best garlic extract, Alley C. Why Alley C? Because it helps your body fight viruses, bacteria, and fungi. Alley C has been scientifically proven in double-blind studies using low doses to greatly reduce the number, severity, and duration of common colds. Alley C contains 300 milligrams of stabilized allicin, the active ingredient in crushed garlic. Studies show Alley C is effective against MRSA, bacterial, fungal, and viral infections. One tablet of Alley C has the equivalent of 40 cloves of garlic. Alley C supports your body's resistance to all types of conditions and can help lower high blood pressure and high cholesterol. So boost your body's resistance to infection with nature's best garlic extract, Alley C. For more information and to order Alley C, call 877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com. That's 1-877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com for your Alley C today.
The American people think they live in a constitutional republic. Land of the free, home of the brave. Right.
Just try those lines on the judge when you get a ticket or have to deal with a big bad IRS.
Instead, use escapeharassment.com. Since 1972, our volunteer group of researchers and educators have successfully taught how to escape tickets by law, and it works. Escape Harassment has three different steps to follow, depending on where you are in the ticket process. Learn how to escape tickets, IRS, or court proceedings before you go to court. For free, three-minute pre-recorded information and FAQs, call this toll-free number, 1-877-45 9009. That's 877-457-9009. Or go to escapeharassment.com and see our money back guarantee. That's escapeharassment.com. Remember, escape harassment works.
Are you tired of spending money for metal canning lids year after year? Then stop! Stop buying metal lids and get Tatler reusable canning lids. Made of USDA and FDA-approved food-grade plastic, Tatler canning lids let you safely store emergency preparedness foods for years. Traditional metal lids are single-use throwaways that contain BPA, but Tatler canning lids are indefinitely reusable and guaranteed to last a lifetime when used as designed for home canning and contain no BPA. Tatler lids are dishwasher safe, perfect for standard pressure or water bath canning, eliminate food spoilage from acid corrosion, fit standard mason jars, and are proudly made in the USA. Place orders by phone at 877-747-2793 or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's 1-877-747-2793 or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's reusablecanninglids.com. Tatler Reusable Canning Lids, the original since 1976.
Get beside me, I want you to love me. I'm surprised that you never told before that you're lovely and you're perfect and that somebody wants you.
Ah, yes, we're in the final stretch of America Tonight. The book that I have out, because now a lot of people have been asking me, so it's not necessarily a shameless plug, because several of you have sent me notes and said, what's the deal with that? It's called Level the Playing Field, Balls, Brats, and Other BS, or Really Fun Sports Facts. And the gist of it is, for example, did you know they have 18 million pages of documents at the Pro Football Hall of Fame in Canton, Ohio. Of course, it's much more than that. There's things about who should be in the Hall of Fame and the arguments that are always there. When did the Hall of Fame start? Who was in the first group of the Hall of Fame? And the first group had 17 people who went in, including Red Grange, the Galloping Ghost. And for some people, including myself, that's history before my time, so it's some really interesting stuff. It's based on sports shorts that you hear here on America Tonight, and it covers a wide swath of sports. Somebody was interviewing me over the weekend, and they said, well, what's the book about? And I told them that same thing, that there's all kinds of cool things you would learn in the book, little fun facts. But you've got football and baseball, of course, and the NBA and National Hockey League and horse racing and the Iditarod. So a lot of things, including mixed martial arts, all kinds of stuff. So, like I said, a wide swath. Wide swath, by the way. So how about some applause from those people in Minneapolis? Nothing. The book is so cheap, too. The book is so cheap. It's under $10. You can go to Amazon.com. It's like $9.99. It's 174 pages. And trust me, it's not a snore. It's not an almanac. It's not. There's nothing wrong with, like, every year I'm sure I get the ESPN almanac in my stocking. I think they do it just because it takes up so much room. But it has all the stats and all the records, and it's just lists of stuff. And there's some good stories, but it's not about that. It's about the records. It's the record keeping. And the book isn't a record keeper to bore you to death, and it would be thousands of pages, and it still wouldn't cover everything. So it's not about that. All right, so here are some of the words that are going into the new edition of the dictionary, the Oxford English Dictionary. It's the 12th edition, to be exact, so you know what I'm talking about. It's the 12th edition of the Concise Oxford English Dictionary. So the thing is, the smaller one, which is what it is, it's an abridged version of the big mama jamma Oxford English Dictionary. Have you ever seen it? Oh, it's huge. Can't even carry it. When I was a kid, we had one in our house, and it used to get used all the time, but it also used to be used as a device for smaller kids to sit on so they could actually reach the table. It was that big. So now this is a smaller thing. So here's the thing. Words like cyberbullying, of course, weren't in there in the past. Now cyberbullying is there. It's electronic communication to bully a person, right? This is their definition. Typically by sending messages of an intimidating or threatening nature. It's easy to use in a sentence. You don't want to go around cyberbullying anybody. Otherwise, you could end up in prison because people are being sentenced for cyberbullying and they're getting some stiff sentences. I think that word is now pretty common. I mentioned sexting, very common at this point. The informal sending of sexually explicit photographs or messages through the mobile phone. And there's like a whole thing about sexting that kids, there's a discord where they don't understand what's going on because this is the big community, the way to communicate. So sexting is a dangerous thing for lots of different people, especially teenagers, because they don't really understand where it ends up. And it always, people think, I don't understand this, it's like the Facebook thing. People who are married and are messing around or posting things on Facebook with other people, and because somebody takes their picture or whatever, and they don't even realize that. It's almost like now you don't even have to be a celebrity to say, don't take my picture, I don't want it on Facebook. I've heard like 10 people say that out recently when I've been out. Don't put this on Facebook. That should be in the dictionary. Not on Facebook, please. All right, here's another word. It's called jeggings. And what jeggings is, it would be a noun, tight-fitting stretch trousers for women, supposedly styled to resemble a pair of denim jeans. Do men like women who wear jeggings?
What, are you kidding me?
Get your jeggings on. Let's go to a movie. I don't know, it sounds funny to me. What, paint them on you? That's just tight jeans. Can it just be tight jeans? Resembling a pair of denim jeans. Who uses the word denim? I'm going to go get my denim jeans on. Are you going to love this word? Or maybe you won't. I have a feeling that very few people in this audience, I'm giving all of you guys credit, because you're all about the politics, you're fired up, you're all about the freedoms and getting out of our space, and oh, such a smart crowd, whether you call the show or if you send us emails. I mean, honestly, it's a great crowd. So I don't think any of you wear a mankini. You know what a mankini is? It's a noun. It's a brief one-piece bathing garment for men with a teabag.
Can you repeat the part of the stuff where you said all about the things?
Yeah, let me get my mankini on. No, I don't think so. I don't know. It just doesn't sound good. It sounds like an old 20s bathing suit. Like, you know, you see the roaring 20s? You kind of saw mankinis then. A sort of a different version of a mankini, I guess. Okay, so here's the next one. Retweet. Twitter is unbelievable. And the guys behind Twitter, just like Facebook, did they know what they had on their hands? That is part of the vernacular. It's part of the language now. A retweet. That means you repost or forward a message by another user. A reposted or forwarded message on Twitter. That's called lame and lazy. That's like cut and paste. Ever read a website where all the people do is cut and paste? Not that I have never been guilty of cutting and pasting. Let's see, let me cut and paste that. That was one of the hardest things I learned to do. I think it was the mouse's fault, not mine. Okay, here's an interesting word that also now exists in this dictionary. A woot. Do you know what a woot is? It's an informal electronic communication, and it expresses elation, enthusiasm, or simply triumph. I'm woot. That was a great woot you sent me. I think that's a very strange word. But I'm going to say the worst word of all of them is the jeggings. Jeggings is odd. I mean, it's very odd. Now, the other thing is they added some definitions of some words that are familiar, like cougar. Cougar was, you know, just something that you would see out in the wild in perhaps the American West. Now cougar, who doesn't know what a cougar is? Cougar is an older woman hooking up with a younger guy.
Yeah, baby!
Hey, more power to either one of those, the guy or the woman. That can be a good thing on both sides of that encounter. I think it's because younger guys don't want to mess around with that. He's so cute, and I can't decide, and where do you want to eat? No. They get tired of that. They just want someone that knows, that has some definition, that knows where they're going. And vice versa for the woman. I think she gets tired of the same old, same old. I don't know. I'm just saying. That's my two cents. Interesting. So now you know. You know what a woot is. You know what sexting is. You know what retweet is. And you know that the politicians sometimes are guilty, hello, Anthony Weiner, of sexting.